From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Walk Without Stumbling. The text is found in Psalm 121 and verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. If the Lord will not suffer it, neither man nor devils can do it. How greatly would they rejoice if they could give us a disgraceful fall, drive us from our position, and bury us out of memory. They could do this to their heart's content, were it not for one hindrance and one only. The Lord will not suffer it, and if He does not suffer it, we shall not suffer it. The way of life is like traveling among the Alps. Along mountain paths, one is constantly exposed to the slipping of the foot. Where the way is high, the head is apt to swim, and then the feet soon slide. There are spots which are smooth as glass, and others that are rough with loose stones, and in either of these a fall is hard to avoid. He who throughout life is enabled to keep himself upright and to walk without stumbling has the best of reasons for gratitude. What with pitfalls and snares, weak knees, weary feet, and subtle enemies, no child of God would stand fast for an hour, were it not for the faithful love which will not suffer his foot to be moved. Amidst a thousand snares I stand, upheld and guarded by thy hand. That hand unseen shall hold me still and lead me to thy holy hill.
Our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide, our life shall last. O God, our help, our hope, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, received her frame from everlasting. Thou art God, to endless years the same, to endless years the same. O God, our help in ages past, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, Secure in the Incomparable Love of God. The text is found in chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. The beginning of verse 5 says that hope maketh not ashamed, or does not disappoint. As Dr. Cairns will point out, the reason this is true is found in the second part of the verse, which says, Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who have been justified by faith in Christ, which guarantees that believers will never suffer damnation. Now Dr. Cairns commences the message called, Secure in the Incomparable Love of God.
Romans chapter 5, reading together again the first 11 verses of the chapter. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, or, as I suspect it should be read, we have now received the at-one-ment, the reconciliation. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. You'll recollect, I hope, that I've been pointing out that Paul sets before us something of an outline of his course of study in Romans in the third chapter. From verse 21 to 31, he gives us a series of pregnant statements that he then takes up and expounds in much greater detail. In Romans chapter 5, he's expounding that wonderful statement in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's really the text, if you will, of all that Paul is saying here in the fifth chapter of Romans. Now, Romans 5 falls into two very distinct sections. The first 11 verses, and then 12 through 21. In verses 1 to 11, Paul is expounding the words, justified freely by his grace through the redemption. And then in verses 12 to 21, he gives very particular notice to this great theme, this redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And when we get to that section, in the will of God, you will notice that we will then be entering into one of the most profound passages in all of Holy Writ, where Paul is inspired to explore what it means to be first in Adam, and then what it means to be in Christ. Now, we're still in the first section. We have already dealt with verses 1 through 5a, the first 4.5 verses of the chapter. Remember what the theme there was, that Paul was dealing with the new secure standing that believers have with God. And he notes that the foundation of that standing is not in themselves or in their works, but in the merits and mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the basis of his merit and his mediation, Paul shows we are declared righteous by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. That therefore we have peace with God. And I'm not going to retrace our steps over that particular statement, but that is one Wonderful statement. We have peace with God. Then he shows that we have the power to prove the effectiveness of the gospel and its grace in the most difficult circumstances of life. We glory, he says, we boast in tribulations also. We boast in tribulations. Now, let me be quite frank with you and say he is occupying ground, therefore, that every Christian should occupy. But honesty compels us to say that most Christians have never yet approached to it. I don't want to derail myself before I start. But that's why I shudder every time this congregation sings what they sang tonight, especially after a good laugh. My soul trembled tonight when I looked out in this church and I saw people smiling and laughing one second and the next singing, praying to Almighty God, lay any burden on me. I have been with the parents of grossly disfigured babies. Lay any burden on me? Oh, sure, I believe we can take anything if God will be with us. But this is ground that most Christians should take and haven't taken. We boast in tribulations because there is power for us available to prove that the gospel works even in the most difficult of circumstances. And then, of course, we have the prospect of certain bliss. There's this wonderful statement in verse 5 that our hope maketh not ashamed. It will never let us down. It will never put us to shame. Christians will not be disappointed in their hope of glory. Now, Paul is very much aware of what an amazing statement of absolute certainty he has just made. And I want you to understand it is a statement of absolute certainty. Our hope will never make us ashamed. And because it's such a statement, Paul goes out of his way to give us a detailed exposition of the very best possible line of argument to show us that, however amazing, this statement is nothing but sober truth. In other words, this is not pious talk. This is not whistling in the dark. This is not just expressing some vague wish. Paul, when he uses the word hope, is speaking not of what he hopes might happen, but of the guarantee of what God has declared must happen. That's his hope. And so therefore he says, I'm going to prove to you that this hope will never make us ashamed. And that's what the rest of the section from the middle of verse 5 to the end of verse 11 is all about. Now, in a nutshell, the argument is this. God has given us the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit has poured into our hearts. Well, let me rephrase that. It's not into. There's a nuance here. This is the only place in the New Testament where this verb appears with the preposition in and not the preposition into. He has poured in our hearts. Speaking of something that has happened in the past, but it's an ongoing experience. He has poured in our hearts the love of God. That love that led God's dear Son to die for us and then to rise again and live for us. And Paul is arguing here, if we grasp the reality of God's immeasurable love in Christ, we will realize that there's no room for doubt that believers have an immovable security and a well-grounded assurance. Once you understand the love of God in Christ, security is a settled matter. Assurance is a settled matter. Once you grasp the reality, the nature, the actions, and the intention of God's love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for anyone in that position of grasping God's love, there is nothing for him to do but, as verse 11 says, glory or boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. The subject then of that's before us tonight, and I'll not promise that we'll get it finished, though we will make the attempt. The subject is secure in the incomparable love of God. That's the subject, and really what Paul is saying here is that the love of God is the Holy Spirit's surest and best argument for the present assurance and the eternal security of believers in Christ. Now let's follow the argument step by step and see how everything works in to the security of the believer. We start in the middle of verse 5. Here's how we know our hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We must start at the end of the verse if we're going to put things in chronological order. First truth here, God has given us His Holy Spirit. Now, this is a vital component in Paul's argument. The amazing thing is, when you read the experts and the commentators on Romans 5, not too many of them spend a lot of time in this particular part of the argument. There are other great things in this text, and they're rushing on as if the giving of the Holy Spirit were only an afterthought. But this is absolutely essential to everything else. Without this, there's nothing. He has given us His Holy Spirit. And the truth that he's getting over is this. That one fact, the fact that God has given His Holy Spirit to believers, is an essential part of proving the security of those believers. The argument really is very simple, and yet it's profound. If God has given you His Spirit, He's never going to damn you. If God has given you His Spirit, you are His in a unique and wonderful and unchangeable way. Now in chapter 5, Paul only mentions this. This is, you'll see this in Paul's style again and again. Not only in Romans, but in other places. For example, if you go through the first epistle of the Corinthians, you'll see this, where Paul loves to hang something out there. And then later he'll come and he'll pick it up. I remember when I was lecturing through 1 Corinthians, I pointed out to our students that in many ways that's the structure of that whole book, where he deals with something, and in dealing with that, he mentions something else. It's only a mention. Then he comes and he starts expounding that. In that exposition, he mentions something else. And then later he picks it up. He loves to do that. Here he's mentioning the fact that God has given us the Holy Spirit. In chapter 8, he deals with this in much, much fuller detail. And there you'll find there are many, many great statements about the Spirit. In many ways, Romans chapter 8 is peculiarly the chapter of the Holy Spirit. Paul speaks of Him as the Spirit of life, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Spirit that dwelleth in you, the Spirit who enables you to mortify the deeds of the body, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit who bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, the Spirit who helpeth our infirmities, the Spirit who maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Here the apostle is dealing in detail with what it means when he says God has given us His Spirit. At the moment here in Romans 5, it's just the bare fact. But that's enough for the moment. It's not the person and work of the Holy Spirit he's really wanting to expound at this point in the argument. All he wants to do is impress upon us we have the most solid possible ground for believing that there is absolute security for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one such ground is that God has given us His Spirit.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.